All right, well, I was doing some Bible reading today, and not today, the other day, and I came across a section here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I was like, I need to share this. And so I'm pausing out of my Psalms. I know I just started too, the Call to Worship series, but I wanted to bring this message out of 1 Samuel tonight. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll be taking a look at verses 1 through 10 here this evening. Now, Samuel, he had just been, his mother, Hannah, had just been told by God that she would conceive a son, or I guess Eli told her, her prayer would be, I got to pause and think before I speak. Eli told Hannah that God would answer her prayer request because of her faith. And Hannah had prayed for a son because she was barren. And so Samuel was born because of this, and Hannah, true to her vow before the Lord, after she weaned him, she brought him to Eli there in the temple to be raised for the Lord. And so every year she'd bring him a coat as he grew. Well, here in chapter 3, this is where we're going to be picking up. We're in the time of the judges. That's when Samuel was raised up. And as we read and read multiple times in the book of Judges, the people did that which was right in their own eyes. That's a great game plan for life, is it not? No, it's a horrible plan. It is quite likely that for this very reason, as we will soon read, that there was no public or there was no open vision of God. God was silent. He was not speaking to the people. Due to the people's wickedness, God had chosen to withhold open lines of communication with the children of Israel. And so when the Lord did speak, it was highly valued, and it was regarded seriously. And now that is going to play a significant role and part in Eli's response to Samuel in our text here tonight. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's go ahead. We'll pick up our reading here in chapter 3, verse 1. So if you would, please join me in standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. And follow along with me as I read the first 10 verses here of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And so I'm going to pause there. In the beginning of verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, it had not gone out yet. It was preparing to go out. And that word ere, E-R-E, is basically saying now, right before the lamp of God went out in the temple, God is calling out to Samuel. So that's kind of the context of what's happening here in the timing. And so the Lord called unto Samuel, verse 4, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. So tonight I'd like to bring a message that I've simply called, check the caller ID. Check the caller ID. When someone's calling you, check the caller ID. So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated. Looking forward to kind of explaining that a little bit more here this evening. Now, it would be an absolute tragedy to miss a phone call that would have changed your life forever. You never want to miss the time when Publisher Clearinghouse calls you and says, hey, you've won, how much is it? Like a ton of money, like every week for the rest of your life, basically. That's a phone call you don't want to miss. Now, I'm sure you've probably seen in the movies where someone keeps calling the main character over and over and over again. And he just keeps bugging him. And the main character, finally, he's just getting fed up. And finally, his phone rings again, and he yanks it up and goes, stop calling me! I told you to leave me alone! And it's his boss on the other end. Ooh, talk about an uncomfortable situation. He got so flustered with his life that he forgot to check the caller ID and see that it was his boss calling and not the annoying friend. And it very well could have cost him his job. Now, Samuel had a slightly different problem. He didn't have caller ID back then. No, that wasn't his problem. His problem was he didn't recognize the voice on the other end of the line was God himself. He just didn't know God's voice at this time. And so when he received the call, he was utterly clueless as to the true source of the call, and his response is evidence to that fact. I mean, verses 1 through 5, we kind of see his, we'll get some background explanation. It says Samuel's response to the Lord was hindered by the fact that he was unable to recognize the Lord's voice. Samuel never had nor witnessed a personal experience with the Lord. It was a completely foreign thing to him. The Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, Samuel was about probably 12 years old, roughly, when God called him. And it is reasonable to assume that in his short 12 years of life, the Lord had not revealed any visions to Eli or any other prophet for that matter. Samuel had never heard the voice of God before, nor apparently had he been trained to discern it. And so when God did speak to him, he mistook God's voice as that is the voice of Eli. Now, it wouldn't be unfair to say that this was yet another failure on Eli's part. You see, Eli, he had two sons. We all know about his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These two men, they held the office of priest and were responsible for the day-to-day affairs there in the tabernacle. Now, the Bible describes them as, very mildly, as sons of Belial. These were not good men. And it gives detail into just how corrupt and sacrilegious they were. Being Eli's sons, and Eli being the high priest, he should have rebuked his boys for their conduct and held them responsible for their actions. But he didn't. Instead, he just turned a blind eye. He pretended it didn't happen. And I find it ironic that he was plagued by blindness in the latter part of his life, a fitting ailment considering his choices. Now, with Samuel in the picture, though, there was a tremendous opportunity for Eli to pour himself into this young man and teach him what it means to be a priest of the Lord. He's got a young protege. He's not corrupted yet. He doesn't know the ins and the outs of the temple day-to-day affairs. Eli has this golden opportunity to pour into this young man. Samuel was willing. Samuel was obedient. He checked all the boxes for being a God-fearing priest, and yet it would seem that Eli was lax in training Samuel, just as he was lax in raising up his sons. Now, whatever reason, Samuel was unable to properly respond to the Lord's call because he did not yet know the Lord's voice. However, he did, however, know that someone had called him. There was no mistaking that. Someone's calling my name. And he did the only thing he knew to do. Samuel obediently responded to the best of his ability every time he was called. It was multiple times in the night, in the middle of the night, that God called to Samuel, and every time Samuel responded without delay. He immediately rose up out of his nice warm bed and hastened to Eli's side, because that was who he thought was calling him. Now, I think we could actually even learn a lesson from Samuel about submitting to authority. Samuel was the understudy of Eli. Eli was not only a teacher to Samuel, but he was also a father figure. And so Samuel obeyed being summoned, even though it was inconvenient to him and it cost him precious sleep. But he did that because Eli was his authority figure. But now look again at what the text says. It says that he ran to Eli. Man, middle of the night, you just get up and run. I don't have that kind of energy. But Samuel, he was young, and he did. And I love our Boys of Valor definition for obedience, doing what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. That is the definition of obedience. And I'm just thinking again of myself. You probably don't know this about me because you've never been there when I've been woken up in the middle of the night. It'd be kind of awkward if you were. But my family knows this, that if I get woken up middle of the night, I'm not the most friendliest person. I can get a little grumpy, especially if it's for like nothing. Oh man, I can get mad. But I'm thinking Eli, he gets woken up in the middle of the night, and his response was the exact opposite of that. Now I need to remember Samuel whenever that happens. Whenever I get woken up in the middle of the night, I gotta remember Samuel. He was woken up several times and basically was told, never mind. You get up, you get out of your nice warm bed, it's probably cold, you couldn't find your slippers because you're trying to run and get there as quick as you can, and you get there, yes, Eli, what is it? You called me, what do you need? And Eli just like, never mind, just go back to sleep, leave me alone. And rolls over. Weird, okay, so he goes back and lays down. This happens a second time. He gets up, he runs over to Eli. Hey, Eli, I'm here. What do you need? You need some water? You need help going to the bathroom? What is it? What do you need? Eli, he wakes up. No, leave me alone. Never mind. I never called you. So by that time, if I was Samuel, I'd be getting a little upset. Like, is he pranking me? Is he pulling my leg? But no, Samuel was obedient every single time. His attitude was others focused. He wasn't focused on himself. He wasn't focused on how he was feeling. He was more concerned about what Eli needed. He was others focused. Eli needs me. That is the attitude we ought to adopt whenever we are asked to do something by those in authority over us. Not, hey, who do you think you are to tell me to do that? No, that wrong attitude. Your attitude needs to be, oh, yeah, what do you need? I'm here to help. Be others focused. Now, when responding to a call, the effect on your life it will have will be determined not by the actual source of the call, but by the perceived source. Let me explain that. When my kids are out playing in the backyard, for example, and I want them to come inside, I might tell, Addison, I want you to go tell your brothers and sisters to come inside. It's time to come inside. And so she'll go and say, hey, time to come inside. You know what her other siblings do? All right, let's go inside. No. They're like, you don't get to boss me around. I was the true source of the call. I was the one who said, hey, I want you to tell them to come inside. So the message was coming from me. But they perceived the source of the message to be coming from Addison. And so they were just going to ignore it. They were going to disregard it. So it didn't matter the true source of the call. Their actions were based off of the perceived source of the call. It's not until I go out there and say, hey, get inside, that they're like, oh, okay, she was telling the truth. And they do come inside. So what does that look like today? Well, actually, let me back up a little bit. Samuel, he did not understand that the Lord was the source of the voice calling him. He assumed it was only Eli. And so consequently, Samuel's response ended when he assumed, hold on, when he assumed the source said it wasn't him. When Eli, his perceived source, said it wasn't me, Samuel's response ended there. He didn't wonder what other entity could be the source of that call. Well, if Eli didn't call me, then who did? No, he didn't go that far with his thought. He just, oh, if Eli didn't call me, whatever, I must have been dreaming. So what does that look like today? I like how Matthew Henry put it. He said this, God calls many by the ministry of the word, and they say, as Samuel did, here am I. But not looking at God, nor discerning his voice in the call, the impressions of it are soon lost, they lie down again, and their convictions come to nothing. You know, we got the All Church Family Vacation coming up here soon, just a couple weeks away. What are you doing right now to prepare yourself for God's call on your life? I'm confident God is going to speak to each and every one of us that's going to be there. So what are you doing right now to prepare yourself to receive that call, whatever that call may be? Far too often, we all, adults too, we get guilty of making what's been called camp decisions. You know, you get all fired up in camp, and you're like, yeah, I want to serve God with my life. I'm on fire. Yeah, praise the Lord. And you get back to church. It's like, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to go from Genesis to Revelation every single day. Here we go. And I'm going to memorize the entire book of Psalms, and I'm going to, and you have all these ambitious plans of how you're going to serve the Lord, and you get back, and it lasts a week, 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, but then it kind of fizzles out. You kind of lost that zeal. You lost that fire that you had while at camp. Far too often we make camp decisions, and they only last for a little while. If you truly want God to work in your life, you need to prepare your heart to hear from him. You need to cultivate the soil in your heart so it's not like the fallow ground. It's hard and not broken up. If you try to plant a seed in that, it's not going to go very deep. It's not going to grow very well. But if you break up that fallow ground, freshens up the soil, it provides a place to put that seed in deep where it can take good root and spring up and be a good, strong, healthy plant. You got to break up the fallowness of your heart in order for God to be able to do a work in it that's going to last. So start now by prayerfully committing to go to camp with the intention of hearing a message from God. That ought to be our goal, going to hear a message from God, not going on a vacation to get away from everything. That's just a bonus. But we ought to be going because we want to hear from God. And so I pray that your attitude going to this All Church from the vacation is, God, I'm going and I'm not leaving until you speak to me. But then be open because I can't afford to keep you all there longer than 3 days we'll be there. If you do that, if you go prepared to hear a message from God, then when God does speak to you, you will recognize his voice and be in a position to respond. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel's attitude towards this mysterious summoning in the middle of the night speaks to his character. Eli's response deserves a little attention as well. Eli responded to Samuel with kindness and sensitivity. If we want to stay true to the text, and of course we should, then we need to spend just a moment and examine Eli's response to Samuel. First of all, Eli never got upset that Samuel came and woke him up. Like a good teacher, he did not rebuke Samuel. He didn't yell at him. He didn't berate him. Nothing like that. Instead, he simply told Samuel, oh, son, you must have been mistaken. I didn't call you. Run along back to bed now. Told him to go back to bed. It was when Eli perceived that it was the Lord calling Samuel that he had a hard choice to make. That revelation, believe it or not, put Eli in a predicament. In chapter 2, a man of God came to Eli and delivered a message from the Lord that because of the sins of Eli's sons and Eli's refusal to deal with them, his house would be judged and be cut off. When Eli understood that the Lord was reaching out to Samuel, he was faced with the choice of telling Samuel to just ignore it in order to prolong his own ministry. Or he could choose to reveal to Samuel that it was the Lord and teach him how to properly respond to it. By choosing to teach Samuel how to respond, It was a recognition on the part of Eli that God had officially written off his ministry and would go around him and speak through a child instead of speaking to the high priest. It was quite an indictment, but it also seems as though Eli had accepted his judgment. So having perceived that it was the Lord calling Samuel, Eli instructed Samuel on how to respond. And once Samuel was properly instructed on how to respond to God, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. God is not going to speak to us unless we respond in the manner that he has prescribed. Every time we open the Word of God, God is trying to speak to us. This is how God speaks to man today in our time. We don't have God speaking to people in dreams. We don't have God speaking to people audibly. We don't have God giving people visions. That was all in the past dispensation. This is the only way God speaks to man these days. So if someone says, God spoke to me in a dream, be careful. They probably just had a bad reaction to the pizza they ate last night. This is the only way God speaks to us in this day and age. And unless we approach our Bible reading with a desire to hear a message from God, God's message is going to fall on deaf ears. A lost person can open up the Bible, can read it, and walk away unchanged because they do not believe it to be a message from their Creator. This is just a book to a lost person, nothing more than a book. And so they can open it. They can read it just like you and I. But the difference is they will walk away unchanged. A saved person can open up the Bible and they can read it and walk away unchanged as well because they are simply trying to fulfill a religious obligation. Pastor said I need to read my Bible every day, so let me just, okay, I read my Bible. Pastor's happy now. You're just checking off a box. You got nothing out of that. God speaks to us in a still, small voice. A mind that is overwhelmed by the noise of life isn't likely to hear God speaking to him. Look at and treat the Bible for what it is, a personal letter to you from the God of the universe. He wrote it to introduce you to him and to teach you how you can navigate this life with the fullest amount of blessings possible. That ought to excite you. That ought to get you like, wow, I can't wait to start reading again. Pastor, finish preaching so I can go home and read my Bible. Treating it like the message that it is, a personal letter to you from the God who created everything. And he gave it to you because he wants you to know him. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to understand him. He wants to bless you. That's why he gave it to us. And he wants to be able to have a relationship with you. Samuel followed Eli's instructions, and God spoke to him, and the instruction Eli gave him was, when God called the next time, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He must call himself God's servant. He must desire to know the mind of God. Speak, Lord, speak to me. Speak now. And he must prepare to hear and promise to attend. Thy servant heareth. Then we may expect that God will speak to us. When we have prepared ourselves, we can then expect God to speak to us when we have set ourselves to listen and to hearken to what he says, and when we come to read the word of God and to attend upon it being preached, we should come thus disposed, submitting ourselves to the commanding light and power of it. So what does this passage teach us? Samuel could not properly respond to God's call because he did not know who God was. You cannot properly and accurately respond to God's calling on your life unless you have an intimate and personal relationship with him. Man will often miss the call of God on their life because they are not familiar with God's voice. But God will patiently repeat the call until the man has the knowledge to respond. Do you want to know the secret on how to respond to God's call? It's not really a secret. It's actually pretty simple. It's having the right heart attitude. It's acknowledging that God's way is far superior than your way, and then humbly seeking His will for your life. That is how you can hear from God. Have the right heart attitude. A right heart toward God will lead to right actions for God. It's been said many times before, not original to me, but wow, what a true statement. A right heart toward God will naturally lead to right actions for God. So how's your heart attitude? God's calling. You got your caller ID? Check the caller ID. God's calling. Question is, are you going to pick up the phone? Oh, no. It's God calling. Oh, I know I should, but I'm afraid to. If that's you, why are you afraid? What is it you got going on that's going to make you afraid to pick up that phone? That thing that has you afraid to pick up that phone is the very reason why you need to pick up that phone. Lord, I'm dealing with something and I need your help. You know what God's going to do? I can tell you what He's not going to do. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to berate you. He's not going to put you down, make you feel low. God's going to say, my dear child, I'm glad you picked up the phone. I'm glad you told me. I was calling to help. And God's going to help you through whatever it is that you're struggling with at this time. So God's calling. Are you going to pick up the phone? Let's have a time of invitation. The musicians want to come and prepare to play. That phone's ringing in your heart. You have the opportunity to pick it up right now. If you need to do business with God, don't be afraid to pick up that phone. You're welcome to come, speak to God here on the altar, bow there in your seat. Either way, don't ignore the call. Pick it up. As the music plays, let's all stand as we have a time of invitation.